What do you do when you find out that your son has a genetic disease that only 1,000 people on Earth have been diagnosed with? For one father, he used that to inspire him to create a new company that's changing millions of lives. You're going to meet Ryan Sheedy on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. Fellas, good to have you here.
How you doing?
What's
Evan?
What's up, Evan?
I'm really excited because you know I love these stories about people who have issues, and instead of throwing up their hands and going, what do I solve it? They fix it themselves, and they go, you know what? I'm just going to do it and build it and fix it. I see an issue. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to solve it. And that's exactly what our guest did today. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Ryan Sheedy. He is the co-founder of Mejo, which is an amazing app, which we're going to get into in a second. But Ryan, I kind of want to set up your story here a little bit, because what went into starting Mejo is the fact that you have a child with a rare genetic disorder. And I was doing some research. It's called Costello syndrome. And there's only about 1,000 kids on the planet who have been diagnosed with that. The current population of Earth is 8.4 billion. So that's 0.000003% of the world has been diagnosed with Costello syndrome. So I imagine finding doctors and specialists and people like that to care for your child is not exactly the easiest thing in the world, which is why one of the many reasons why you decided to co-found Mejo, which is an amazing app where we have kids with special situations, and we see a lot of doctors, and every single time you go and see a doctor and a specialist, they go, okay, tell me your story, doctors, nurses, assistants, everybody. And if you go to one doctor in this place and one doctor in that place, and it's like, you got to start from scratch every single time. And Ryan, your situation was, I'm going to fix that so that everybody has access to all the information, so I don't have to tell this amazing story, this long story, this complicated story again and again and again and again. And you said, screw it. I know how to do this. I'm going to get this done. And you started Mejo, and it's an amazing thing. And we love these inspirational stories here on Driven by Purpose. We love people like you that say, I'm just going to do it myself. And so when we heard about your story, we're like, let's get this guy on the show. I want to hear about this. So welcome to the show, Ryan Sheedy.
Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you, fellas. It is really great to be here. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's how I try to wake up every single day. There are so many people like us who need help, who are frustrated, who just are trying to live their lives. And like us, we're thrusted into this life without healthcare background, without medical degrees. And we're just trying to do whatever we need to do to survive, to give our kids the best life that they deserve. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. I live in Bentonville, Arkansas with my wife, Ashley, and our three young boys. I got three boys under 8, so it is wild every night. But, you know, it really started, I talk about it a lot in the ultrasound room. We had no idea we were having twins. And so, like, that was the start of life throwing curveballs at us, and we had to learn how to hit them. And so from there, you know, my wife went through this crazy twin pregnancy. We had no idea that there was anything out of the ordinary with our twins. We knew one twin was a little bit larger than the other. And we went into the scheduled C-section, and we thought, probably like most of us, our wives, our partners are going to deliver these babies. We're going to have 1 or 2 days in the hospital, and then we're going to go home, and life is just going to go on hunky-dory.
100%.
Yeah.
It was the complete opposite of our story.
Yeah.
One baby came out not crying, 40% bigger than the other, and our whole world just kind of changed. And it happened in an instant. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to these unique situations. And we went from a
the most happiest day of our life to, we don't know if our kid is going to survive. And ultimately, we spent 103 days in the NICU, and I was separated from my wife and my other son. And that was just a whole other ball of wax that we had to learn how to do. We then had no idea what his diagnosis was. We got discharged with a G-tube. For all my G-tube parents out there, rock on. It is one of those things that, like, you have no idea what it is until you get one and you have to care for somebody with it. And it took us months and months and months of doctor appointments to finally get the doctor appointment that they said, let's do a genetics test. And we got that diagnosis of a Costello syndrome. And from there, like, we had a whole laundry list of things that we needed to go ahead and do. And during that time, one of my wife and I had to decide to stay at home to be the full-time caregiver. And I said, how hard could this really be? To be a stay-at-home dad. Shout out to all my other stay-at-home dads. But how hard could this be to be a stay-at-home dad with twins, one who's medically complex, and a spouse who travels all the time? And I'm eating my words still to this day.
Yep.
How hard it really is. But that whole time, I got to meet so many people in waiting rooms, parking lots, who were struggling, who needed help. And I felt like I had this new, no pun intended, guys, purpose for my life, going from shopper marketing and fundraising to now helping families navigate healthcare.
As we continue in your journey, so this is all 2018, this happens, correct?
Yep.
So 2018, you're, you know, every single day you're in the NICU, 103 days, you're getting asked by every single nurse on shift change, what's going on? You're getting asked by every single doctor, every single neonatologist, every single specialist. Then you go out and you get genetic testing and it's again. So you must have told your story to all these caregivers and people thousands of times. And that's not even like, I'm not even trying to sensationalize it. You are literally telling your story thousands of times to all these people. So especially with a rare genetic disorder that 1,000 people in the world have, you have to give every detail and how you, every word you use, you have to be so careful so that they can get the diagnosis correct so that they can treat your child. So at what point in this journey do you go, I'm sick of telling everybody from the beginning, I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to get everything, all my ducks in a row, and I'm going to start this, I'm going to start to build an app so it's all in one place. At what point does that idea come along?
Probably day 40 in the NICU. Like,
wow.
I remember sketching out, because I had to communicate this back to my wife, and I had to communicate it back to grandparents, what's going on. And so, you know, being, you know, a marketer, like, I built a one pager and I built PowerPoints of pictures.
Yeah.
And because people were visual learners.
Yep.
And realized, like, okay, yes, the medical chart exists and it captures what happens in the hospital, but what happens outside of the hospital, what happens, all the nuances and all the things. And so I created a one pager out of the NICU. Still have it today. I laminated it because I use it all the time to show. And when anybody would ask, tell me about Reynolds, I would hand the one pager off to them.
Yeah.
And it had his milestones, his dates, what medicines he was on. On the back had all the phone numbers of all the doctors, you know, and you guys can relate. You become the head coach.
Yep.
With no coaching experience. Yeah. And you're calling the plays. And it's the Super Bowl every day.
Yeah. You don't even know what game you're playing.
No. And I'm blindfolded.
Yeah.
Blindfolded. People are throwing darts at me. Yeah. My feet are on fire. But here's my son who needs me, whose life is relying on me connecting all these dots, right? You can take him to the doctor appointment and then the doctors do all that. But then you get all the instructions and all the things. And so, and you kind of alluded to it. I got frustrated with the lack of help and resources that were given to me and to other families. And so just like I said, how hard could it be to be a stay-at-home dad? I said, how hard could it be to create a platform in healthcare without healthcare or app background?
Hey, Ryan, I've heard Evan talk about his experience, you know, when his daughter was born. I've heard Mike, you know, but I'm learning a lot through Evan and the NICU. Maybe just get a little deeper in like what the NICU is like and like, how did you get motivated? Because, you know, I'm picturing like you're in, you know, I've had a baby, you're in a room, but like, can you give us, I've never asked you get into detail what NICU and then how are you putting this idea together? Like, you know, just give it to me.
Evan, Mike, I'm sure you can still hear the beeps in your head.
Yep.
You can still see the wires. You can still feel the rush of doctors and nurses coming in. And, you know, it's interesting, and I talk a lot about this. Prior to going to the NICU that day, I didn't even know what a NICU was.
Same.
I didn't know what they did. And that was really like one of the first times I got to see my kids was in the NICU. And like my wife delivered, we got to see them for like a second or two. And then because she was recovering from, you know, this major surgery, a C-section of twins, I had to go up there with my father-in-law, you know, and I, you know, I can still remember this going in, and thankfully our hospital had a private room. We had two kind of like incubator things and the boys are hooked up all. I had no idea what was about to happen. And then you fast forward on day five, we got shipped to another NICU, you know, hundreds of miles away, and it was an open air NICU. And there were 100 babies across 10 different pods. And so you're now experiencing your own situation, but others.
Yeah.
And that is
where was that? Just out of curiosity.
It was in Little Rock, Arkansas. So we delivered in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We then got shipped down to a higher level NICU.
Sure.
And I had to follow him in an ambulance for 3+ hours.
Wow.
Get there in the night, had no idea what I was about to enter. And you're seeing all these different situations, and there weren't a lot of dads. And I went again from this, like, hey, I'm going to be a dad, to like, how do I ask the questions? How do I push forward and all of those things?
Yeah.
And
I'll add on that because, you know, and Mike, I'm curious to hear your experience too, but I had a similar experience, Ryan, where my daughter was born and my wife was in critical condition, and they immediately moved my daughter to the NICU. And I was there for 2 weeks until my wife was allowed to get out of her bed and come up and visit our daughter. Those first 2 weeks, every time she had to see Sydney, they had an iPad. So they were FaceTiming my daughter down to my wife's room so she could see her. But it's true. It's lonely. It's very clean and sterile, and, you know, intentionally, obviously, but it's not warm and fuzzy and homely. So it's, you're in a new place with, it's the constant noise and beeping. And I'm just going to be honest with people here because that's what we are. Kids are dying around you. You're seeing horrible things happening every single day. I remember one of the first 2 weeks we were there, I was there alone, and there were twins, and there was a priest that was giving them their last rites in front of me with the parents crying their eyes out. It's a traumatic thing. And then there are positive experiences where kids come in and they're only there for a couple of days, and the parents think it's the worst thing in the world because it's all relative, right? Because if it's your first kid and you're in the NICU and all, it's not happening the way it was planned out, it's terrifying. And you're seeing parents that are there and they're freaking out, and then they're home 2 days later and you're like, okay, great for them. And then they're having a nice, healthy life. And if you're friends with them on social media, you're like, oh, they're out there, Johnny's playing football and he looks like a linebacker and everything's healthy. But in the NICU, you see everything. You see the worst, you see happy, but a lot of the times it's lonely and it's sad, and you have to focus. And this is where we get into your situation, Ryan, where you have to focus all the time. You have to be so locked into what's happening with your child's care, because the doctors are on rotation. Sometimes they're on for a couple of days and they're off for a couple of days, and you're getting a new doctor who might not be up to speed with what happened to your kid in the day before. If your kid has something called a Brady or a DSAT, which is a situation in the NICU that is sort of an emergency, and that all the doctors that are in charge of caring for your child need to know every single little thing that's happening, or things could go sideways. So not everybody is a great communicator. So it falls on you as the parent to make sure that you have everything on lock. You know everything that's happening with your kid. When are they being fed? How much have they fed? How much, are they going to the restroom? When are their medications being administered? When was the last time they had a Brady or all this stuff? We kept journals. We had this. And I'm sure, Ryan, for you, and again, talking to if you're watching this out there, having to relay that information multiple times a day from square one every single time, or if you get a brand new neonatologist who hasn't even met your kid before in like week 3 and you have to start from the beginning, it is exhausting. It is emotional because you have to recount every single thing that happened, the good and the bad. And sometimes the bad can, it's hard.
I know we got to get to break and I want to get into the story, but Mike, I'd love to add the story because this is just informative for me and just hits me deep knowing you guys. Like, I'm just like, oh man, I didn't have to experience that. So I just love that you guys are telling the story. Mike, anything you want to add before we go on break? Because I think this is great.
To what both Ryan and Evan said, it's the same for us. Like, we would go into appointments, NICU, everything with manila folders full of all, every type of, you know, document. We'd have CDs of MRIs and all of this stuff, like literally to present to everybody that just came in. And what I'm very interested in hearing about after the break is what Mijo does, because it like takes away like the need to have all of that stuff. And we went everywhere. Like, you walk in and you've got your kid and then you've got a stack of stuff and it's cumbersome to deal with it. So it was never having to go there in the first place is just a terrible feeling, but then to go in there and have to thumb through like all of these things to get whoever's going to be seeing your child so they know what they're doing, is it just makes the situation even more cumbersome.
All right. So on that note, let's go to break. And when we come back, we're going to hear how this motivated and how Ryan was able to take this idea that he had facing all of this at the same time. There's a lot going on, and you forging through and creating your own company that's really helping other people based on your own experience. We're going to hear about the birth of Mijo when we come back on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. Isaac, what's up?
What's up?
And Mike Gesser. Mike, hello.
How you doing?
And we're here with our guest, the co-founder of Mijo, Ryan Sheedy.
Nice.
Hey, Ryan.
We talked about how we've all bonded over our situation with our kids and being in the NICU and how complicated and difficult and challenging that can be. And Ryan was so inspired and motivated, and he felt this calling while he was 40 days in the NICU with his son who has a rare genetic disease called Costello syndrome. Only 1,000 kids in the world have been diagnosed with it. He decided to start an app, a company called Mijo, which essentially it takes all the complex medical information from all the different walks of life that your kid has and organizes it and stores it in one easy to use app. And it sounds like an ad, but it's true because that's what it is. And so, Ryan, I'm curious on the business side, like, okay, your kid was in the NICU for 103 days. Day 40, you come up with the idea. How do you push it forward and take it from idea to actual reality when you're talking about building a company? When you're under duress, you're under stress in the first place, you're raising twins, you got all this stuff going on. How do you actually get this to fruition here?
Yeah, man, like I said before, it's meeting all those families who needed help. And so I took that little napkin sketch that my son's NICU nurse still remembers to this day of me talking about this idea, to then creating the one pager, to then seeing my son's EMR printout at 7,000 pages tall, saying there's got to be a way to do this.
That's so crazy.
I said, like, I got to figure out how to make this a thing, right? And so, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you tell your idea to a lot of people. And I was telling a buddy, and he's like, hey, it sounds great, not relevant to me, but you should meet this other guy. And his name is Brett. And Brett was an executive at one of the electronic medical record companies. And he also has two kids who spent time in the NICU, who were impacted by rare disease. And we came together to build Mijo, which stands for the journey of me, where my friends in California and Texas call it Mijo, which means better. So I don't ever correct anybody, but really to create this app that was patient-centric, that was for caregivers, that went beyond the hospital, that was about real life, that connected to others. And, you know, we forged ahead, we went and built this app, and to date, you know, three years into it, we have thousands of families here on their platform utilizing it to communicate, you know, their loved ones' medical but also personal situations. And now adults are using it and groups are using it. So to take this napkin sketch to then start commercializing it and building it into a product that is used at the enterprise level is something I'm super proud of, right?
Should be.
Like you had mentioned it, like We're still raising three kids, one who's got a medical condition. But I think what sets us really apart, and when I talk to a lot of, you know, even very large organizations, they take the meeting because we're living it. We're not just some tech company that had this idea that wants to go be the next unicorn. We're helping real people. And that's what gets us into the door. And it resonates with a lot of people.
Ryan, I'd love to, because when we met in Bentonville when I was in town a couple of months ago, I was astonished. I think the number was 53 million caregivers. I know we're talking about individuals.
It's now 63.
60. Whoa, see, already changing. That's only a couple of months you've already shifted that? Wow. But honestly, talk to us a little bit more outside of just, you know, children with disability. What's your goal, you know, to really help all caregivers? Because, you know, being in my 40s, my friends are becoming caregivers with their parents. Could you talk a little bit more about that bigger
great
number?
Point. It's a great point.
Yeah, so it's 63 million Americans who are unpaid caregivers. So those aren't the folks that are working for nursing homes and facilities. That's moms, dads, brothers, sisters. And so that's growing. We started off in pediatric rare disease because that was our life, right? That's how we could communicate and talk. But the reality is anybody who has a medical condition, sees one or more specialists, Mijo is for them.
Yeah.
Whether you're a kid who is being cared by your parent, you're someone with a medical condition, or you're caring for somebody, our app can help. And so that's why we're having these conversations with now not just caregivers, but healthcare facilities, organizations, institutions, therapeutic companies, medical devices. We're going to help a lot of people. And, you know, I am so appreciative of guys like you who are giving us a platform to tell our story, to get it out there.
Can I also just add to this real quick? Because around a lot of the work we're talking about is this accessibility. And what I like about accessibility, there's an accessibility coalition that Walmart, Starbucks, CVS are a part of. And their goal is what they've designed. It's for everyone. So it sounds like you started with a need, and then now you got a broader community out there that it's not just for, you know, people or parents with disabilities. You found accessibility as a way to help people. And I'm curious to see what happens even in a non-caregiver, where your app can even go from there.
100%. I mean, accessibility is huge. 1 in 10 Americans have the skill set to understand health literacy. That means they don't know how to communicate to the doctor. They don't know how to administer medication. They don't know how to communicate to their employer what their medical condition is, or because they need to take time off and all of that. So accessibility is definitely something that is becoming more and more part of our roadmap.
Ryan, I'm curious to know a little bit about you and your story. How has having your children, one medically complex, and then starting this app, how has that affected you? How do you balance that out and stay mentally?
It's tough, man. It's really tough. Not going to lie, you know, in the beginning, we didn't know if he was going to be alive in a few years, to then getting a diagnosis and then clipping along. But this has really given me, I keep saying it, but purpose. Like,
yeah,
this is what drives me. Like, I get fueled when other people who are like, hey, we found your platform, we're using it, it's allowed me to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And so it's not just a job. Like, it is my now purpose in life to do this. And I look at my son every day and go, like, you don't know it, but you're helping a lot of
100%.
People.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. In sports, they say pressure is a privilege. And when you're starting a purpose-driven business that's so personal for you, that, you know, you must feel that the stakes are very high, because you're doing something that could really help other people, and you know the potential that this has. So when you're pushing forward and you hit a roadblock and you start to feel like things aren't going exactly the way that you want them to go, as everybody deals with in business, how does this sense of purpose help guide you and push you forward? How does it impact you and your decision making? Like, take us through that side of the business, because I know when you're just in business to make money, it's a different mentality than it is when you are doing something where you feel like there is really a higher calling to what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we made this a for-profit company for a reason. Like, there's business opportunities to this, but you can still have purpose.
100%.
And so there's that balance of, hey, I got to make 200 sales calls today because I got to go sell some stuff.
to, I'm going to spend an hour with this mom who was telling me about a situation and we've connected. And now, like, that's fueled me to go even further. And so there's definitely that balance. I mean, I feel the pressure every day to keep this thing going because I feel like people need me. And so that's why, you know, you just got to kind of put your nose to the grind and grind it out. And that's why it takes years and years and years to keep things going.
Well, I think what you found is you're driven by purpose. And I think this business, it's a business, is 100% changing people's lives. And it's changing the lives of the people that it's helping. But I think ultimately, the more you do this, the bigger you do this, you're ultimately changing the world. And I think that's huge. I think this is something that not just medically complex parents need or patients need. I can't see why this can't be applicable to anybody that needs care, and well, everybody needs care.
I just want to thank all of you for plugging Driven by Purpose, but I think this is why have this show. It's the whole this point. Is what purpose, and Ryan,
the
these
point.
Are the stories we want to keep featuring because we're all driven by purpose, and this is why we called the show, and it's fitting. So I thank you for plugging it, and this is what we're trying to showcase, and I just think a wonderful story of what you've done.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, again, to date, it's an app that helps you organize medical and care information, allows you to track symptoms and behaviors and store documents. But where this is going is really going to be that assistant, that companion, no matter where you are on your journey, whether you're just getting that diagnosis or you're caring for an elderly parent, like we're going to be that platform.
Ryan, tell people how to get Mejo.
Yep. So Mejo is a web app. So there's nothing to download. You're not going to find it in the app store, which makes it accessible across any device. It's app.mymejo.com. Certainly try it for free. We just launched a premium version. We also partner with advocacy groups. We've built custom versions for several advocacy groups that are launching these platforms into their community. And so we're really excited about this. If you are part of an advocacy group, share the word. If you need it, sign up. And, you know, we're always able and willing to chat with folks to learn more.
For listeners who want to learn more about Mejo, we will link Ryan's work to our show notes. If you're a caregiver who's feeling overwhelmed, there are tools and there's definitely communities out there to help you lighten the load.
Guys, if you're watching this, we appreciate it. Remember to share this episode with people. Let's spread the word. Let's make sure that people know about the show. Get this out there. We're going to continue to push forward with guests like Ryan, who see things that need fixing and solve problems and, you know, out there trying to do spread good. And I appreciate that. So, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank
Isaac,
you, Ryan.
Mike,
thank
appreciate
you, Ryan.
You guys. Love you guys. And we will see you on the very next episode of Driven by Purpose. Thank you so much.